Okay, a little fireworks music to get us going here. I'm sure I'm not alone in seeing some great fireworks displays and wondering how in the heck do they do that. And we're going to find that out today, among other things. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on WPR News. And our guest, Bassam Shakashiri, back with us, an emeritus professor of chemistry at UW-Madison, a national proponent for science and education. And he's going to talk with us about how scientists make those 4th of July oohs and ahs possible. And he's happy to share his enthusiasm and knowledge of science with us today. So, are you curious about science? How do you learn more about science in everyday life? Bassam can answer your questions, and I hope you'll join in. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Bassam, great to have you back.
Thank you so much, Larry, for having me. I'm always looking forward to being with you and your fabulous audience. I hear from so many of them, and they all are very complimentary, at least the ones I hear from.
Okay, good. Well, let's look at fireworks there to start out. What are the most common ingredients that you find inside a firework?
Well, Independence Day is coming up, and I want to say a few things about that, too, but we celebrate by setting off fireworks. Fireworks generate very noticeable forms of energy, a tremendous release of sound, that's what we hear, bright light that we enjoy, and heat. We don't feel the heat because we are far away. We should be far away from where the fireworks are set off. The tremendous booms that we hear at ground level are the result of the very rapid release of energy into the air, causing the air to expand faster than the speed of sound. And that's what produces a shockwave and a sonic boom. You asked me about what's in them, so I'm trying to describe what the phenomena are, and then I'll get to that. The colors are produced by heating metal salts. So one of the ingredients is having metallic salts, such as sodium chloride or sodium nitrate and others. These salts emit very characteristic colors. The atoms in each of these elements absorb energy and release it as light of specific colors. So the selection of the salt is important to produce the color that we like to see. I'll just add the energy of the atom rearranges the electrons from a low energy state to a higher energy state. But when the excess energy of the high energy state is emitted as light, that's what we see it. And that's what we see. So there are binders that are added to the salts, and there's a fuse, of course, and the fuse has to be carefully constructed and designed so that there's no premature setting off of the firework. You want it to get up in the air, so it has to be propelled up in the air. It's really a science. It started out as an art. The Chinese were very good at it a long time ago, and others are very good at it. The characteristic colors that we enjoy, red, for example, that's because strontium salts or lithium salts are added. The orange color that we see is from calcium. The silver color that we see is from burning aluminum or titanium, sometimes magnesium. The blue color is from copper salts, copper chloride. The beautiful green that cascades down, they all cascade down. The green comes from barium salts. So the composition the relative amounts of the chemicals that are added in there, along with the proper propulsion that is needed, is crucial to the construction of the fireworks. So that's, I have a lot more about your question and about so many other aspects of fireworks on my website, and I would like to invite everyone to visit my website, scifun.org. And you can see on the homepage an entry that says, guess what it says, Larry? Fireworks.
Oh,
fireworks. And there is a description. It's about two pages long, a little over two pages long, with all kinds of fascinating, interesting details. But I also want to emphasize safety. Yeah. I think fireworks should be set off by people who are professionals, and they should be set off far away from people, and of course from animals. You know, animals react to the sound. They're fearful of it, especially dogs. So we need to always be obeying the safety rules as we celebrate holidays, Independence Day, and other occasions where we set off fireworks. But we should do that safely, and to try to succeed, not only to try to succeed in not causing any injury. And so, Larry?
Yeah.
May I just say something about very important to me about fireworks? We set them off to celebrate Independence Day, and all of us should think about what Independence Day really means. In America, it is on the 4th of July. We call it the 4th of July, but you know, there's a 4th of July in every country around the world. So Independence Day, to me, is the time to affirm and to reflect on who we are, what we stand for, and what we want to continue to be. And I suggest very earnestly and respectfully for others to read what I read beginning in May. I start reading three documents. The first one is the Declaration of Independence. The second one is the U.S. Constitution. And the third one is the Bill of Rights. I know the Bill of Rights is part of the Constitution, but it's set aside. These three documents are crucial to our identity as a society, to our well-being as we get along, as we should try to get along well with each other, and remembering the great heritage that we have that got us to where we are. Yes, let's celebrate, let's enjoy fireworks, let's gather friends and families, and let's have cookouts, let's enjoy the outdoors. But my plea to my fellow citizens is to mark Independence Day and to think deeply about the issues that are reflected in the Declaration of Independence, in the U.S. Constitution, and in the Bill of Rights.
Bassam Shakashiri, our guest today, and we talked about the Constitution earlier on the show today with a guest who teaches a class in La Crosse on civics and civic responsibility, and part of it is the study of the Constitution. But we'll get to that a little bit more, but I know we've got Brooklyn in Madison has a comment relating to fireworks. Brooklyn, go ahead.
Well, I just had a question on exactly how they work and
okay.
How they can become so beautiful.
Yeah, you know, you see these kind of shooting stars go up, and then you also see a lot of times designs. There may be a firework that goes off that looks like Abraham Lincoln's face, or it might be a whirling circle, or it could be a lot of things. And, you know, I'm with Brooklyn on this a little bit, but Sam, how do they organize that within a firework to make it work?
They organize it very artistically and very carefully, and they try to produce the images that appear up in the sky and that appeal to our senses. The joy of seeing the different images, whether it's a circle or a facsimile of President Lincoln, or just a shooting set of stars falling down and then exploding. All of this is designed carefully by professionals. And it is really a magnificent show to witness and to understand the chemistry and the science that relates to all this. Now, I am very careful, Larry, and everyone in the listening audience, not to mention any recipes for making fireworks. Because safety is paramount in everything that I do and everything that I say. And the fireworks are to be prepared by professionals and set off by professionals. So I've said this already, but I want to repeat it again.
That makes good sense. Brooklyn, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. But Sam Shakashiri, our guest, join in with your own thoughts. I'm Larry Mueller. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or email to talk@WPR.org. Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today. Bassam Shakashiri, our guest today, as we talk with him about science. We're talking the science relating to fireworks, but also talking a little bit as well about science itself as we approach July 4th and our Independence Day. I know Bassam's already had a few words about that. Probably we'll have some more words about that as well as we move along today. And again, you can join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. Bert emailed us, how much toxins are released into the air from fireworks?
Very good questions. All the questions that your audience ask are very good. Yes, they produce some toxins, and that's why we need to be far away from them. And when they fall, the aftermath of fireworks produces remaining chemicals that are not friendly to human life, to plant life, and to animal life. So we should be careful where they are set off. And the organizers of fireworks, you know, they keep that in mind. Most of the time. You know, the smoke is produced, the particle size of what the smoke ingredients affect our lungs, depending on what that size is. So it's important to always enjoy fireworks from a distance.
Yeah. Dick in Brooklyn has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Dick.
Yeah, my question would be, how do we dispel the mistrust that I see? People seem to, it seems to be a phenomenon that's expanding, and people don't understand that science isn't always absolute, that it evolves, but there's a tremendous amount of mistrust out there right now, and I find that very troubling.
Yeah, Dick, thank you for calling. Comment on that, Bassam.
I share your feelings. Thank you for bringing this up. Let me just stay at the outset. The current state of science and technology in America is as good as it has ever been. The quality of life that we have in America and around the world is the result of making new discoveries and putting those discoveries to good use. And all of that is based on trust, an understanding, and providing support for scientists and science communicators to do their work. So let me also say, Larry and everyone else, the generosity of the American people has been put to good use in chemistry, in physics, biology, engineering, all the neurosciences, medical sciences. We have new pharmaceuticals. I can go on and on. It is important for all of us to share the values of the high-quality research that goes on. And we share it if we understand it. If we don't understand it, we should ask about it. But in addition to sharing it, if the proposed cuts in the federal budget in support of the National Science Foundation or NASA or the National Institute of Health or NOAA or FEMA, if those cuts are put into law, and they are before the Congress now, before the Senate especially, if that's going to cause, let me put it straight, irreparable damage to our society, irreparable damage to the aspirations of young people who are curious, wanting to pursue scientific research, wanting to benefit from these discoveries that are made. So it's very, very crucial that we converse with each other respectfully. Name-calling is not going to help us get out of the mess that we're in now. It's crucial that we converse and urge our elected officials in the Senate and in the House in Washington now, tomorrow, before Independence Day, to see to it that proper federal support continues to come to science, to all of education, and also, Larry, to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, of which WPR and PBS Wisconsin are beneficiaries. But the true beneficiaries are the audiences that we have. And it's incumbent upon us to truly urge our elected officials to act responsibly for the well-being of society. So thank you for asking this question.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate the call. And we'll take some other calls. We have some more calls that relate to fireworks. And let's go to Rick in St. Germain next. Rick, hello.
Hey. Yeah. I was just wondering that a lot of these cities around here on 4th of July are shooting their fireworks out over a lake. And is that kind of environmentally not good for the lake, or how does that work?
Yeah.
It's an action that's unfriendly to the lake because the fallout ends up in the lake and contaminates the lake. We need to really be careful where these fireworks are set off. Even if they fall down on soil, they contaminate the soil too. But these ingredients that remain after the fireworks are set off and they fall in water, they dissolve in the water, and depending on the amounts, they are toxic. So yes, we should learn from what science tells us. We should question what science tells us, but we should also learn from it, and we should establish and follow safe procedures for celebrations, including setting off fireworks. But we should be extremely responsible for the environment in which we are living and for the environment in which these fireworks are set off.
Yeah. Rich, thank you for calling. Shyla in Mississippi, your turn. Hi, Shyla.
Hi. I just had a question about, like, the history behind fireworks.
Yeah. So you mentioned kind of in passing, I think, at the beginning, Bassam, but what's kind of the history behind fireworks?
Oh, they're very old history. Over 1,000 years, maybe 2,000 years, people discovered that certain chemicals, when mixed together, produce light and sound. And then they also discovered the Chinese are the history of the Chinese fireworks is well understood. And I have a little bit of that on my website, you know, scifun.org, scifun.org, that relates to how the evolution of fireworks has taken place over the past 500,000 to 2,000 years. It is really a tribute to human ingenuity that fireworks are still around and are, for the most part, not entirely, for the most part, used safely. I keep emphasizing safety, Larry, and Shaila, everyone else listening. We need to be fully aware of the consequences of what we are doing so that we don't cause any injury to ourselves, to animals, to the entire planet.
Shaila, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Christina in Glenwood City, your turn. Hi.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I absolutely love science. I've always been curious, though, why they refer to time as half-life.
During science experiments, oh.
I'm sorry. She's asking about
why do scientists refer to time as half-life during science experiments?
Oh, half-life is a measure of the time it takes for half the amount you start with to disappear or to be consumed. So it's a term, for example, in radioactive material, the half-life is the length of time. It could be in seconds, microseconds, minutes, years, hundreds of years. The length of time it takes for half the amount that you start with to disintegrate, to disappear, to be consumed. That's what half-life is.
And they refer to it that way to give people an idea of how long something's going to stick around.
Yes, and if it is a radioactive substance that's emitting dangerous radiation, that also is a telltale of how long it should be, how long we should be avoiding it or be able to contain it, how to contain it.
Yeah. There you go, Christina. Thank you. And finally, a sparkler. It's a handheld firework. I guess it burns slower. What are sparklers made of?
That's similar to what we have in the fireworks. And I have a special entry on my website about the sparklers. So take a look at it, but please, I guess for the fifth or sixth time, handle everything that sets off heat, fire, handle it safely. Sparklers are wonderful to look at. If you're holding one, keep it away from your face and especially away from other people. So they have the similar ingredients to what I just talked about before, but they don't produce different colors. Some of them produce different colors depending on what we put in them. Yeah, yeah. So by all means, visit SciFun, SciFun.org, and on the homepage, under the big entry called Learn About, click on what, Larry?
Fireworks.
Fireworks.
But Sam, thank you so much for joining in. Appreciate it very much. We'll look forward to another visit.
Thank you.
Vasam Shakashiri, Emeritus Professor of Chemistry at the UW-Madison. Always great to have him with us. And thanks for joining us today. This and all our shows are a team effort. Our producers are Clara Neipert and Joel Patnod. Our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins. Our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening, and hey, stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News. Maybe a reason why all the doors are closed, so you could.